whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Brought to you by Rock Antenna, Germany's number one rock radio station.
A very special welcome to our Rock Antenna listeners. I'm here with the nice guys from Biffy Clyro. So how are things going at the moment?
We are great, thank you. Buzzing to be here. Thanks for spending your afternoon with us.
Okay, when we talked at Rock and Park, because we did, you told me that your new album is a fucking masterpiece. And I listened and I think it sounds really catchy and warm, but the lyrics are often, I would say, really sad because it's about heartbreak, about friendships that end, and yeah, of course, about a little love, of course. Why is that? And what have been your inspiration for the new album?
Yes, for the first time, we slowed down for a couple of years, and it's been 20 years that we've barely stalled. And then we took a little break after kind of post-pandemic, after we put out a couple of records. And for the first time, I think we reflected on our journey and our lives and the fact that when we started this, we were 15. We've known each other from when we were 7. And you know what? There's the good times and the bad times have made us exactly who we are now. And I think it's important to acknowledge the good and the bad, you know. And I'm also to sing about friendship. You know, a lot of the times I've sung about love and our family relationships. And actually, my relationship with the boys and vice versa is one of the most important relationships in our lives. And you know what? Our friends make us who we are a lot. And it's tough when people drift in and out of your life. And some people you wonder why, and other people you don't want to see again. And I feel very lucky that we're still share our lives with each other. And but as I say, it's not to say every moment's been easy. We've shared sadness together, we've shared grief together, we've shared health issues, mental health issues, we've had stuff outside the band, family things. And I think it's important to acknowledge that in an honest way and say that we've survived all that together, you know, and I'm so glad we are and grateful we have.
Okay, you talked already about your relationship and you two are twins, right? So I ask myself, because twins often have a connection, I would say. How is it for all of you to work with twins? Simon, for you?
I'm the most patient man in the world. Putting up
bait bear to a bait.
So don't take each other for granted. But I think part of being there probably means that we do in some ways take that connection for granted, as because it's normal to us. We don't know anything different. I think there's definitely strengths to it. There's perhaps some weaknesses as well, but we're not going anywhere. I think that's a real strength. You know, we're always going to be together, and I think that's probably an unwritten thing within the band and the three of us, is that, well, no one's going anywhere. You're not getting out that easily.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's helped us always to feel like a family, you know. And I'm maybe the kind of odd black sheep brother. I do very much feel like a brother. And I think it honestly, never mind the musical side of it, of Ben and James playing bass and drums and being on that same wavelength, but honestly, see, when we discuss things, we very quickly kind of get to the nub of what we need to decide, or you know, that's not a romantic way to put it, but because Ben and James are made from the same flesh and blood, you know, they share the same DNA, that really gives us a closeness that I think even if we were just three close friends, it wouldn't be the same. And it kind of gives us a, not to sound arrogant, a kind of invincibility where it's like, you know what, see, try and take us apart, try and tear us apart, because it ain't going to fucking happen.
It's good to hear, I would say. So, your album is called Futique, if I say it right. Okay, with my terrible school French, I first thought about the word fatigue, which means tired. So, but that sounds rather depressing. So what was actually the meaning behind you?
Wouldn't that be awful to call it 8 pounds?
Funny.
Step S for the 11th album. Futique, it's a portmanteau, and it's the words future and antique. And as I said earlier, just in terms of reflecting on things, there's some beautiful experiences we've had over the years where I feel like I could have enjoyed it more in the moment as it was happening. And what I want to do in this whole album and the time we spend together is actually savor each moment and try and cherish it. I don't want to be sitting in 10 years and go and thinking, oh, that was such a good time, but I didn't know it. I want to be the good, the bad, and the ugly. I want to very much kind of feel like I'm experiencing life properly and not looking for the next thing. So the concept Future Antique is what will be that thing in 10 years or 5-10 years where we're like, I wish I'd known that that was never going to happen again. I wish, and you know, I knew I wasn't going to see that person for 5 years, or I wasn't going to be in that city for another 10 years. And it's those little moments, and just try and maximize life, you know, because this day and age, we get inundated with so much heartbreak, darkness and sadness from around the world. And I think it's sometimes all we can control is what's in front of us. So let's just try and make that as good as we can, and then hopefully beautiful things can go outward from there.
Okay, do you guys have a certain future antique moment?
Ooh, happening all the time. It's happening and the reason I'm right now, as soon as Simon came up with the concept of Futique, I think we have Futique moments almost every single day since then. You can't help but not just see them popping up. I think the definition of it is that you don't know what's going to become something that you miss. So you have to savor every moment. That's kind of the point. You don't know where you're going to miss. So just enjoy all of it as it's happening. Moments like this, being back in Berlin, it's just a kind of reminder to enjoy it. You know, hopefully we'll be back here very soon. In fact, I know probably which day we will be back here. But just soak it all up, enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, later that I've just brought up one now. It was weirdly, I kind of missed the hideously small bedroom that I was in Berlin, but we fit. Sorry, that's a record. Because when I first walked in, it was like camping, essentially. But I now kind of missed that. I missed that wee room. And I guess the day I was leaving there, I was like, thank fuck we're leaving here. But now I'm like, I would actually like to go back. Because there was something really special about being there, just getting our heads down, being the team we are, and getting the work done. And it was glorious, even though it was kind of difficult.
Mm. But for me, it's probably and we're obviously speaking over technology, but see, during the pandemic, when trying to promote a record on Zoom was so tough, and I really, really missed having a conversation face-to-face, sharing space with someone. And I never thought I would miss interviews or doing hours of interviews. Actually, all I wanted to do was to sit at a table with someone and talk about music, you know, and so little things like that. I'm loving the fact that we're doing promotion, and obviously we're not face-to-face just now, but being in Berlin and meeting people face-to-face, it's just that human connection. It was so hard to not have that. So that's currently my Futique at the moment, but I'm enjoying it right now. And ask me in another few years, I'll be like, interviews on for... It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to share space with someone.
Yeah, it's great that after so much interviews, he still enjoyed. Thank you.
The affability. It's easy when we're talking to someone like you, JLP.
Okay. Is there any funny or unusual story that happened during the making of your album?
Funny. If you don't have fun, laugh.
I think the boys had quite a good laugh when I ran a red light and I got into trouble with the police. I think that was one. I think my driving gave everyone a bit of a good laugh.
We did the James. We gave James a homemade haircut, which was straight fun. Ben, we gave Ben the clippers. Ben had a lot of fun. I mean, you know what? It sounds really boring. The fun is kind of making the music. But yeah, we made friends with the local market sellers and all that. So I bought a bunch of Playmobil, which was loads of fun.
We went to an Union Berlin game, a football match, which was incredibly fun. It was a sold out game against Leipzig. It was drinking and smoking right here at the ball, smoking at the footbrake.
It was the best. You're getting.
These people can live. And that was one of the funnest evenings I think I've ever had. Is the atmosphere and because back in Scotland, football was quite aggressive. You know that the fans all want to fight each other, but this just seemed like a lovely atmosphere in which everyone. There was no goals. I think no goals scored.
Didn't matter.
But it didn't matter. It wasn't. It almost wasn't about the football. It was about the experience. And yeah, that was very enjoyable that night.
Nice. Okay, so how was the songwriting process like for you?
It was, you know what, when we finished our last two records during the pandemic and I kind of ran out of ideas, I didn't want to pick up a guitar. So I went and made some uber extreme metal with one of my other bands, Empire State Bastard. And doing that and screaming for 2 years, I fell back in love with songs and the art of songwriting. So when I would come home for a few days between touring with that band, I would just sit down at a piano or pick up a guitar finally. And these songs just started to fall out. So it's my favorite way to make a record is before you know it, you have 20 songs and your album is kind of telling you it's time to make it. It's really tricky when I don't have 5 to 10 songs, and that's when my mind gets too involved and I start to overthink it. So I always need to go away and liberate my brain. And then suddenly when I ease off from the biffy side of my brain, the ideas fall out. So it probably in 2023 and 2024 was kind of when I would just slowly compile these songs. And then I would, when I saw the boys, I think we had about 20 songs to start with, and that kind of flowed. So my fear is always to try and get water out of the well and it's dry. But what I realize is when the well is dry, give it a chance to fucking raise. You know, like, because if you can dig as hard as you want, you're not going to find water. So that's what I've learned over the years is don't fight it. If I'm not inspired, I'm just not inspired. But thankfully, it's always round the corner. Yeah.
Great. You also talked about the Empire State Bastards. And here in our radio station, there are many, many Sleep Token fans.
Definitely want to know the secret.
Who's behind Wessel? Tell us.
You are seated. First of all, it was a privilege to be invited by Sleep Token. I love the fact that there's a metal band, rock band, whatever you want to call them, that is getting people so excited. Now, their songs are really good. Vessel is a songwriter, is an incredible songwriter, and his songs are beautiful. But see, to be in America and to see that level of excitement for people, you know, people were coming out, they were waiting for 10 hours. They really respect the anonymity of Sleep Token as well, which I think is so beautiful, because if a band like Sleep Token had come out 10 years ago, everyone would be desperate to expose them. And I know you can find out who it is online, but there's this real respect and love of the art. And it was just amazing to be there as a band has exploded. You know, the last thing these fans wanted to hear was my other band, the Empire State Bastard. We made zero fans, but that wasn't the point. It was just great to play these big rooms, but see, to just be there with a band when their moment is arriving, you know, it's so special and magical. And they are as sweet. They are human beings. I'm not going to say anything more than that, but they are sweet. They're everything you'd want them to be. They're really special people. Vess was a special artist, and they treated us really, really well. So yes, Sleep Token. I've not given any facts away there, but your fan, your people that are passionate about them, you're right to be passionate about them. That's all I would say. They're a special, special band.
So we keep the secrets and have it in our imagination. That's fine.
Stewards, I'll tell you where they live in it.
Okay, I want to talk about your songs a bit more precise. So you have your first single, A Little Love, that was out around Rock and Park Festival. Why did you choose that song as your first single?
There's a couple of reasons. One was the sentiment of it was coming by. It was something that's trying to be positive, even though the verses are about kind of butting heads. It's like, isn't love an amazing thing? Not to sound like a heavy, but see, love does simplify things. It can complicate things. But if you have love for someone, then life can be a beautiful thing. Sorry, now I sound like a total hippie. We wanted a really uplifting, I think coming back from Empire State Bastard, I really wanted to really, the first song to be full of melody and joy and just be like a lighthearted kind of musical moment. So that was why we chose it first, I think. And it kind of talks about the sentiment of the whole record is our journey as a band and our journey with our loved ones and our families and how we've changed, how our memories have changed and the way we experience things. So that one just felt like a really kind of simple way to encapsulate the record and also show that, I mean, I think some people think the song sounds like a typical Biffy song. I mean, I don't think it does. So I quite like the fact that it was a bit more synth-led and everything and then that big warm chorus. But yes, the tension in it and then the release, I think that's a definitively Biffy kind of thing to do as well.
Yeah, it's true, I would say so. So then we come to another, I feel, song that is a little darker. So it's True Believer. What was your inspiration for that one?
I guess that one, it's about faith and not a religious faith. It's like, it's trying to have faith in like decisions you've made in your life and appreciate that the good outcomes and the bad outcomes. I mean, that's what life is. There's never going to be any moment in anyone's life, and I'm sorry to break it to you, where everything makes perfect sense. Even if one aspect of your life's going really, really well, there's other things that give you headaches or stresses. And this song is kind of asking myself, like, I've had blind faith in the band for years, you know, and like thinking it was going to help, like, fix me, for want of a better phrase, or that life would feel more whole if certain things happened. And what I realized is it wasn't actually about the destination. For me, what I believe in is our journey, the fact that we're on a path that I believe in. I believe that our calling to make music and to want to bring people together is a pure path. And again, actually, I hope I don't come across like an asshole.
No, that's all.
But I just feel like actually what's made us do this, it's not to make a living, it's not for the glamour, it's because we love that transference of energy amongst ourselves to share our beliefs and thoughts. But that, just that, see, when you're in a live moment and everything clicks, and like the chemistry and the fans are a certain way and you're a certain way, it's honestly, it's like God on earth. That's what I feel, is as close to feeling God's presence, and that's what that song is about. It's about sacrifice, but faith and belief, and not knowing if you're doing the right thing, but believing that you are doing the right thing. So I'm sorry, that's a really long kind of hippie-ish answer, but and musically, I think that song encapsulates almost every aspect of our character as a band. You know, it's rocking, it's got beautiful harmonies, it's like, it's a journey, it's quite progressive, and I think it kind of encapsulates everything that we believe in and about our band.
Really nice. I don't know if you get also inspiration from other artists, like bands or artists that you listened to in your youth. What were they?
Yeah, I mean, well, from our youth, I guess, you know, you revisited recently. Have you heard of a band called The Presidents of the United States of America? They're like this 90s three-piece, and we loved them, but they brought out a couple of records, but we went back and listened to those records, and it's just a three-piece rock band, but the production on it, they have really kind of funny, catchy songs, which doesn't sound very enticing at all. But it was really interesting to listen to a record like that 20 years on and notice different things, like, i.e. the production, and it wasn't the quirks that spoke to us. But no, I think our part of our job is to be inspired by new bands as well. You know, we love Idols, we love Big Thief, we love The Armed, we love High Viz, who are an incredible kind of punk rock band from London and Liverpool. There's just so much great music being made, and the wonderful thing is to see people getting excited about being in bands again and picking up guitars and fucking with the guitar sounds. It doesn't need to sound like Led Zeppelin. It can sound like McGee. You know, he's a wonderful new guitarist. And I think that's what's so exciting. Like, the rules have all been broken, but now I think people do want to belong to certain kind of certain clubs, for want of a better phrase. You know, people want to be part of a community now again, and I think people are being drawn to heavy music, whether it's Knock Loose or something like that, or just so brutal, or Spirit Box, or so brutally heavy, but they're massive, massive bands. And so I think it's a really, really exciting time, and it's hard not to be inspired by all these bands.
Okay. So I do have, like, I would say one last question. So is there anything you want to say?
Really appreciate your support, and we can't wait to come back. We've missed playing here so much. It's been a good couple of years now. So, you know what? It's amazing to release the album, but knowing that we're going to share it on a stage in 2026 and start our 2026 playing shows in Germany, we're so excited, and we just appreciate your support. We miss everyone. We can't wait to make next year another busy year for us, and hopefully other people too.
Thank you for your time.
So lovely to talk to you again.
Whole lot of talk, the interviews that rock. Subscribe to our channel for more rocking podcasts.